And welcome again to Brew Crew Online. I'm Benjamin Orr.
I'm Colin Bennett.
And for those of you that stayed up with us last night to watch or listen to the Brewers game, thank you. Quite a marathon of a game last night. Brewers end up winning in the 13th after a Ryan Braun solo home run and went 5-4 beating the Cardinals and are now two games below 500 on the season.
It was, I know a lot of people were a little upset about having to stay up, you know, there was a delayed start time by about 2 hours, or considerably over 2 hours, if I remember correctly. And then that moves the game all the way until, you know, 2:15 in the morning. But, I thought it was a fantastic game. It was everything that you'd really like, I think, to see from the Brewers. You have Gallardo going up against St. Louis, and he gives up, two runs
on six hits.
Yeah.
I think the more impressive thing about Gallardo's start is the fact that he went up against, you know, St. Louis's best pitcher this year in Kyle Lowe. So, I mean, if you want to count Lance Lynn, that he's not starting anymore. But he's basically the only one against their ace this season, and that's impressive to do that in St. Louis, considering we know how Gallardo has done against St. Louis before, and then in this season, he had that awful debut game against them this in April. Well, not really debut, but like season starter game. And, you know, he's really been, you know, on the mark with his pitching in the past almost 2 months. It's been really incredible to watch him pitch.
Oh, absolutely. He's been very, very good. This is probably the best no decision you could ever ask for him, especially coming out of St. Louis, where he historically struggles so much. And he put down a lot of strikeouts, and, you know, he had that rough first inning, but after that came through with no real problems.
You know, it's the thing, though, that he probably could have gotten maybe a win had, you know, Henderson not given up those two runs. And, you know, that's been kind of the story for the Brewers all season, is they'll be doing good and the one bullpen guy will just, you know, say nope and just kind of negate that. But, you know, I was impressed with the rest of the bullpen. Rodriguez did well. You know, Manny Parra did well. Varus did well. Lowe did well. Kinsler got the win. Axford got a save. I mean, these are guys all season that they look completely new. I mean, Lowe got into a little bit of trouble, though. But, I mean, other than that, it was impressive from the Brewers last night.
Yeah, you have Manny Parra getting himself through some really good hitters in both Holiday and Descalso. Jose Varus strikes out the side. Cameron Lowe played poorly, but got himself out of the jam. You know, Ian Kinsler comes in and doesn't do a whole lot, but ends up getting the win with no hits and two walks. So any way you can get him, I guess. And then Axford comes in with a really nice save.
You know, it started to worry me a little bit because when he walked, when he walked Lance Berkman, at that point he couldn't find the strike zone at all, and he threw, you know, four straight balls after that to Berkman, and then he threw two to next batter in Descalso, and I'm just thinking, well, this is getting kind of, you know, crazy. I mean, Descalso could probably hit one out of here, and you know, he didn't. He got him out, and you know, more power to, you know, Axford.
And 26 saves.
And the one thing that is really impressive about this game is Travis Ishikawa coming off the bench in the top of the seventh and getting that, you know, one run double. I mean, that made all the difference, really.
Absolutely, it did. But I do want to go back one quick thing about Axford. It wouldn't have surprised me at all if Axford, to some degree, just didn't mind if he walked Berkman. You know, that's the way that I approach it when I was seeing it, was that, you know, he doesn't have any real need to throw strikes to a power hitter like Berkman, even if Berkman's struggling.
Yeah, I mean, I do get that, but in the same regards, though, you have to realize that this is the bottom of the 13th, and the Brewers, who are trying to get to that playoff spot, if it's at all possible, don't really want to take a chance in having a guy come up and possibly hit a game-winning home run. I mean, you take your chances with Berkman, because you do have the lead at this point, and you do throw those strikes to him, I believe, And we know that Actor has thrown a few meat pitches over the plate this year that have gone for home runs, but, I mean, that's the risk you take. I'd rather take that risk with Berkman hitting a home run than having Descalso hit that home run with Berkman on base.
Right. But then, you know, the half inning before, you attack Braun and you see what happens. I mean, I feel comfortable. I mean, I didn't obviously don't see all the matchups that you know, that pitchers and managers do, but I felt perfectly comfortable with Berkman getting it, ending up on base there. Even bringing in the pinch runner, you still have a double play. I think it worked fine. Obviously, it did work fine. But yeah, they definitely the Brewers pitching definitely runs your nerves a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing, especially with this season. We've seen, you know, okay, one walk, inning's over, you know. He's going to give up three home runs or something. But, you know, that hasn't been the case as of lately. You know, Axford's looked really solid. And, you know, like you said, maybe it was a matchup thing that he had to go through. But regardless, Brewers win. That's all I care about. And they head into tonight. Mike Fiers versus Jake Westbrook. The game's at 7:15 p.m. Eastern start, 6:15 Central Time. And, barring a rain delay, again, you know, I think this should be another solid matchup. You have Mike Fiers, who's looked really human as of lately, really been kind of struggling, you could say. Didn't even get out of the fourth inning in his last appearance. And then you have Jake Westbrook, who has kind of turned it around, but he used to be that pitcher that had over that four ERA, about 4.20, 4.30-ish, and now it's, you know, below four. He has 13 wins on the season. And he looks a little bit more comfortable pitching with St. Louis.
Yeah, the Cardinals pitching as a whole this year. Again, Jake Westbrook has the 10 losses, the 3.93 ERA. He, you know, his last three starts haven't been that great, but he is. I mean, he's not to be trifled with. No one in St. Louis's entire pitching staff is really anyone that's going to give up a lot of mistakes over a long period of time. And he performs well against Milwaukee. So it's going to be interesting to see. Fiers, on the other hand, Fiers needs to come back to that guy he was earlier in the season when we first brought him up. He is... He's got a couple wins in his last few starts, but he's been shaky every single time, and he really needs to bear down tonight in St. Louis, I think.
Yeah, you know, if the Brewers can get to him early, I think that will mean a lot, because, you know, with everybody being exhausted from last night, you know, if we can knock their guy out first and they can go to their, you know, relievers, then perhaps we have an advantage there. Because Mike Matheny did use five different relievers. Now, granted, Lance Lynn, you know, was starting, and now he's not anymore, so he kind of has leeway, I guess, whereas Ron Renicki basically used everybody he had. Surprised he didn't put in, like, maybe Nedra Morgan to pitch at one point, because it just... He literally used almost everybody in that bullpen. So,
right.
Got to be tired there. You know, in the Brewers... I think you still give them the advantage tonight just because of the fact that the way they've been playing lately. It's just been really good. You know, even last night, we didn't have, you know, Aramis Ramirez, and we had Terry Green in at third. We have Jeff Bianchi in at short, not Gene Segura. So we weren't even playing with two guys that we usually play with. So, I mean, and to beat the Cardinals in their home after a long span of time, I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I know some people are going to be concerned going into this game about the bullpen, but I think legitimately you had to win this game last night. There's no question about it. You had to win this game. When it comes to the Cardinals and the Pirates, obviously you have to win essentially every game down the stretch in order to make this dream of that second wild card spot a reality. And you have to help yourself out, and sometimes that means making those sacrifices there.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, like you said, will get concerned about the bullpen coming into tonight's game. But you look at Mike Fiers' last three starts, barring his, you know, three and a third innings pitching against Miami, he went into the seventh and the eighth against Pittsburgh and Chicago. So he's been able to last longer in the games. Renicki doesn't have him on as tight of a leash as he did. But he's been going far into games, and if he can at least get to the seventh inning, maybe even eighth, I mean, that speaks volumes for not only the starting pitching, but the fact that it doesn't put as much tension on the bullpen at that point.
Right. And that is going to be the key. I mean, Gallardo went, it's hard enough as it is to remember, Gallardo went six innings yesterday, which at any time, you're going to feel very comfortable with the pitcher going six innings. This game's not going to go an extra seven after that. I couldn't assume that.
No.
So I wouldn't be too worried about the bullpen. And like you said, Fires has a tendency to work deep in the games and work well. And I'm sure that's the hope coming out of Milwaukee's clubhouse today.
Yeah, and I think Fires will give them a good, you know, start. He has, you know, really struggled. I mean, his worst game was against Colorado. So, I mean, maybe he's one of these pitchers that you see that will lose games against teams they should beat and win games against teams they really should beat. You know, he has pitched against St. Louis this year. He got a no decision back in July 16th. It was he pitched seven innings, allowed four hits, no runs, struck out four, but also walked four. And that is actually the only time he's ever faced St. Louis in his career. So, you know, you can't really base how he'll do on one start, but the rhythm that the Brewers have been in, I just don't know really how he's going to give a bad outing. I think he's looked at his prior outings, and he's been really frustrated with them because, you know, I know he's a better pitcher than that. You know that. He knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just didn't have those freak wins and those really good outings and that really low ERA for nothing. I mean, he obviously has the stuff to pitch up here. He obviously has the stuff that can shut down lineups. So, you do have a hurting Lance Berkman on the Cardinals. You have John Jay, who's been really hot as of lately, 3-for-6 in last night's game, batting .321 in the season. You have Alan Craig, who's really stepped it up. You have Carlos Beltran, who's kind of in that midway point right now. He's been .261. So you kind of have a Cardinals lineup that's hot and cold at the same time. So I think it's a challenge certainly for Fires, but I think overall he can overcome it if he can not make the same mistakes he has been, and I don't think he will. I think he's learned how to prevent those same mistakes from happening.
Right, and I think it's also, it's hard to make this tangible, but then again, a lot of things in baseball are hard to really make tangible. You have a team in Milwaukee that's playing with so much fire and so much motivation right now. And you have a team in St. Louis that's just kind of holding on the other side as opposed to really trying to make a push. And you don't need to look much further than the fact, you know, St. Louis is now 3-7 in their last 10 games and Milwaukee 7-3. And going back even further, Milwaukee's been playing fantastically in the back half of August into this week. So, you know, you have that kind of confidence builder when you look at someone like Fires who needs to know that these people are going to be behind him, and I think that's going to be a lot of help to him, especially a young pitcher.
Yeah, and the Brewers, their state of play has been so good lately, and really, it's not out of the question, certainly, but do they have a legitimate shot of trying to get into the wild card this season?
I think the fact that they're still in it is fantastic. I'd like to say yes. If this kind of play continues, I'd like to say yes. You have to be worried about a team staying hot for this long and getting... Let's say Milwaukee does jump over the Dodgers, jump over Pittsburgh, and jump over St. Louis. It'll put us four games back if we sweep the Cardinals. So, it's going to be it's a long, long road, and making that making that all the way into the playoffs, and then being successful in the playoffs. I mean, it's going to be very tough, and fans need to be realistic about that. But for the moment, I'd say, you know, just enjoy the ride, enjoy the fact that the Brewers are still winning, and just hope for the best. If they make it to the playoffs, who knows what can happen then. But for now, you know, you really have to look just one game at a time.
I would like to note the fact that I think it was either yesterday or 2 days ago, I was looking at the standings, and Milwaukee had a 0.5% playoff chance. As of today, it is 0.9. So, hey, it's rising.
There we go. We're almost in the whole numbers now.
I know. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, we have a higher playoff chance than, like, the Philadelphia Phillies and New York Mets combined. We're getting somewhere now.
But, there you go.
I mean, if we at least finish the season over 500, I'll be happy. Which, I mean, is very possible. We're two games under 500 right now. It's 68 and 70. But the Brewers do have quite a few tough games coming up. They do play Atlanta. They do play the Mets. They do play Pittsburgh again. And then they play the Steven Strasburg-less Nationals, which I think is interesting that they decided to shut him down this morning. But, not gonna get into that right now.
That's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show on its own, how the Nationals survive without Steven Strasburg, which I think they will, but, you know. In the series with Atlanta, though, it's kind of interesting because we faced Mike Minor, who was going for that no-hitter the other night against Colorado. We faced Tim Hudson. We faced Paul Maholm. I think Atlanta, pitching-wise, has really been different. You have Tim Hudson, who is a 14-game winner, who's really up and down in his starts. He'll have really good starts and really bad starts. So it's interesting to see how he does. Fortunately, we don't face Chris Medlin, who has just been on a tear lately. Had a complete game shutout in his last, or a complete game in his last outing against Colorado. He did give up one unearned run on five hits, struck out 12. The Braves, they don't want to collapse like they did last year, so they're going to want to win as much as they can. But the thing is, these games are at Milwaukee, though. The games against Atlanta and the Mets. So Milwaukee, as evident of last year and this year, is a home team. They win at home. So let's say hypothetically, and I say this in air quotes, we sweep St. Louis. We take two out of three from Atlanta. This, I think, really gives a playoff push for the Brewers because you just won five out of your last six going into mid-September against teams that are higher up in the wild card.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the second most ideal scenario outside of, say, sweeping St. Louis and sweeping Atlanta. So it would be fantastic if it happened. And playing at home, it does give us that advantage, especially with a fan base that's now actually energized in watching it. If you remember, 2 or 3 weeks ago, everyone was citing all the reasons they're going to watch the Packers over the Brewers. And now you have a legitimate playoff run here. And hopefully that gets the fans back into it. And that's going to be an important part heading down the stretch in Milwaukee, I think.
Yeah, because you have a team that really is starting to turn it around in a lot of perspectives. Zach Greinke is no longer the earned run average leader on the team. It's now Giovanni Gallardo. That's finally changed after how many months?
Right.
The Brewers' offensive production has been really, really good. They're now 6th overall in runs, 5th overall in slugging percentage, 10th overall in on-base percentage. I mean, they are just really turning it around. You have Ryan Braun, who just hit his 38th homer of the season last night, is now over 100 RBIs or at 100 RBIs, which now makes him the most in Brewers history to have,
five consecutive seasons with 100 RBIs. He's the only Brewer to do it.
And, I mean, that's incredible. He's on the cusp of 200 home runs in his career. You have Ricky Weeks, despite batting .230, that's a positive, considering he was batting, like, .170 earlier in the season.
Ricky Weeks has been very, very surprising lately. Well, not... I don't know if I want to say surprising necessarily, but he has been fantastic we'll even push it to the last month where he's hitting .289. Really turning it around. When you see that, you wish you could have had this kind of production from him all year. With him being able to stay injury-free, we hope that continues, and we hope this, you know, measure of stats that he has right now continues, but, you know, it is definitely wonderful to see.
And it makes you wonder, had he had his production 2-3 months ago, where the Brewers would be. I'm not saying one player makes a difference, because we know a lot of the struggles weren't from offense, but had Ricky Weeks done what he was doing now a few months ago, I think we'd see a little bit of a significant difference. I think we'd be over 500.
I will say that one player does not make a difference. You're right, but one player struggling so mightily definitely makes a difference. Having him in the lineup for a large period of the season was a liability. And now that he's turning it around, it's fantastic to see. And, it changes up the decisions that pitchers have to make. It changes up the decision that infielders and outfielders have to make during the game. And that's been a big part of the team's recent success. I won't say that him being successful all year negates the bullpen struggles, but they maybe make them easier. That's for sure.
Yeah, it takes a lot of tension off of where the bullpen needs to pick up slack. Because, as of lately, the Brewers have really gone in and shut them down. The Brewers have only lost 4 games since August 25th. And one of those was a bullpen mishap against the Cubs. They lost 2 against Miami, 1 against the Pirates, and 1 against the Cubs. And since then, they have won every game since August 25th besides those 4 losses. And that is incredible, because you look at the horrid month of, June, where we had that stretch of losses. We got swept by Cincinnati, got swept by Philadelphia, lost a series to Washington 3-4 there. And the Brewers, they always, the saying is too little too late. But you look at a team that I think has a new life. Where it came from, I don't know. I'm not questioning it. I'm glad it's here. But realistically speaking, you're going up against teams like Atlanta, like the Mets, like Washington, who, and I'm not saying the Mets really pose any huge threat, but I'm not saying they're dying, they're not down the water yet. But you're playing teams, right, especially like the Dodgers, who they're not only fighting for the wild card, but they're possibly fighting to get over the West in over the Giants. And I'm not sure that's going to happen, because I was one of these people that said earlier in the season, San Francisco is going to take that division easily. Just like I said, Texas is going to take the West in the AL. People are like, oh, you're crazy. The Angels are going to take it over. And look how that happened so far. I still think San Francisco is going to take the West. And even with that, the Dodgers are still going to make some kind of push to get, ahead of them. And I think they're going to keep winning, and it's going to be more incentives for the Brewers to keep winning, because if the Brewers lose and Dodgers keep winning, there's just that gap that's expanding. And Pittsburgh, I think, if we win them, it's almost like a reverse spoiler thing, because, yes, we can play spoiler to them, but if they beat us, they diminish our hopes even more.
Right. It's this is a very, very fun race down the stretch. If you look at, you look at your division leaders, Cincinnati's safe, obviously. Washington Nationals are safe, even without Strasburg, who's going to miss, 3 starts down the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Which, you wonder why, if you're putting someone on an innings count, you don't maybe not start them the first couple starts in May?
Yeah, or at least having a pitch from the bullpen,
Right, but again, that's a story that
it's
too heated to get into now. You look at the Dodgers, who have not. The Dodgers are playing like they don't want to be in the wild card right now. Yeah. Talk with some of the guys from Lasorda's Lair last night over Twitter while we were watching. Essentially, I assume everyone that's involved in baseball was watching the Cardinals game, Cardinals Brewers last night. And they are really struggling right now, the Dodgers. So it's a good opportunity for Pittsburgh. It's the best opportunity Milwaukee's ever going to have coming down this next couple weeks.
And the Dodgers are kind of emulating what Florida did a few years back, where they got this huge collection of talent, won the World Series, but fell flat on their faces ever since. And I'm not saying that's going to happen in LA, because you still do have really good homegrown talent there with Clayton Kershaw and Andre Ethier and Matt Kemp. And I think putting Chad Billingsley on the 60-day DL now really hurts them. Because the acquisition of Josh Beckett does nothing. Josh Beckett cannot pitch. He did not pitch well in Boston. I don't know why they think he's going to do any better in L.A. He's still in a very high market team in a very competitive race. And the Josh Beckett that MLB knew 3-4 years ago is completely gone.
Right.
And I don't understand why Magic Johnson thought getting him would be a good thing. I understand why Boston wanted to get rid of him and freeze up that payroll. But the way the Dodgers have been playing, though, it's just really odd because they did so well weeks ago, and now they are falling apart on their faces. They're kind of going, I wouldn't say it's a huge collapse on them because they still do have a playoff hope, you know, if they can somehow wiggle their way in there. But I don't know, and if they don't, then the Brewers need to take full advantage of that and climb over the Dodgers.
Right. If anyone can probably turn it on at the end of the season and make a serious run to take over the wild card spot, I would say the Dodgers are it. Just because they have a few people they can beat up on in their division as opposed to, say, Atlanta. And they're not running up against as many hot teams as, say, St. Louis and Pittsburgh. So you have that working on their side. But then, God, you just want Milwaukee to do so well right now because, I mean, this is like movie stuff, the team that they're playing like right now. So it's difficult to see because would it be fun for me to see the Pirates or the Dodgers in the playoff or the Dodgers in the playoffs? Yeah, absolutely it would. Those are teams I grew up, you know, kind of liking, and I will always have a soft spot for the Pirates. I will. And so to see them kind of get back to where they used to be would be really fun, but what that would mean for the end of this season for Milwaukee right now would be just crushing for me, I think.
Yeah, because you have to look at the fact that the Brewers, I think it'll be more heart-crushing to see the Brewers not make it, considering the fact that they turned the Jets on in this past month and a half. And, you know, you look at after this homestand we have against Atlanta and the Mets, we have a critical, huge, I mean, I'm going with all the words I can describe this. I mean, it's a long road series, and it's a huge road series that expands from September 18th to September 27th. We play the Pirates at Pittsburgh, Washington, for 4 games in Nationals Park, and then Cincinnati in the Great American Ballpark for 3 games. Those are huge games.
Those absolutely are.
I mean, I don't know how much more I can emphasize huge on that, especially the series against Cincinnati, who has really just kind of owned us. I mean, we did sweep them back in August, but I mean, they have Joey Votto back. You know, they have Johnny Cueto, who could possibly be a 20-game winner this year. They have Bronson Arroyo. They have Homer Bailey. They have Jay Bruce. They have Drew Stubbs. I can name everybody that they have that's doing well. And
right, which is almost everybody.
Yeah. I mean, they have two really good rookies in Todd Frazier and Zach Cozart that are doing well. And there is just so much going on with Cincinnati, and it's kind of scary because, we have 7 games against 2 really good teams this season, and then we have to play them. I mean, obviously Cincinnati has nothing to lose at this point because I don't see Pittsburgh or St. Louis making a stab for... I think Cincinnati has a central route up at this point. 83 wins in, yeah, I think they have that.
I think that's a given.
Though the Brewers, they really... I don't know, because it's such a guessing game at this point. I mean, they did play a 4-game series against the Nationals back in July. And,
right.
they lost that series. And that was at home. I think it really depends on who we pitch in that series. And honestly, I think the chink in the armor right now is Markham. I just don't like him going out and starting right now. Him being on the DL certainly did not help us at all, because at that point, you know, Greinke was gone, and the bullpen was a mess, the rotation was a mess, and now he's back, and we were kind of happy about that. And then in his first game, he was up 5 unearned runs. And
at least they were unearned, though.
Yeah, I guess that's the positive in that, I mean, if there's anything. And just since then, Markham has just... he's looked very average. 3 runs against the Cubs, only lasted 4 innings. 4 runs against Miami. He hasn't won a game since June 8th. And I know a lot of that was for him being on the DL. But I think he's kind of the weak spot.
Right now, I would have to agree with you. although, really, past Gallardo, and this is something we haven't really talked about, past Gallardo, there's not a whole lot of starters that I'm really, really comfortable with right now, which is funny to think that I actually might be a little bit more comfortable with the bullpen right now than I am with the starting pitching. Gallardo's done fantastic. Obviously, Fires has had his ups and downs. Estrada just plugs away, but really can't take control of a game. And then, Markham, obviously, what isn't hurting in Sean Markham's body right now? And it really is affecting him. I mean, he had the calf issue. Was it his last start that he left early with the calf issue?
Mm-hmm.
And then coming off lingering elbow problems, against Colorado. He's pretty banged up, and it's obviously affecting him. So, you have that to worry about. And then they shut down Mark Rogers, which I could take or leave at this point. I like Mark Rogers. I haven't seen a big enough sample size for me to feel really comfortable with him. But yeah, the starting pitching has to turn it around. And then just one quick note about how much help the Brewers need and why they need to win these road trips. Coming up for Pittsburgh, and there down the stretch, they do play the Reds, or they are currently playing the Reds starting Monday. Then they're playing the Cubs at Wrigley. Then they have their home stand against us, and then they go on the road for the Astros in a 4-game set against the Mets. And the Cardinals are kind of the same thing. Padres and Dodgers, Astros and Cubs, and Astros. So, yeah, we really need these next 7 games.
Yeah, and I think the one wild card in our rotation, because he's only pitched 1 game so far, is Willie Peralta,
mm-hmm.
who I have to say I was impressed with his, first start in the majors. I don't know, I don't know if it was the fact that maybe Renicky left him in too long, like with Thornburg, but, I mean, obviously he walked more people than he struck out 4-3 right there, but I think in the month of September, he's a guy that might go a little under the radar, but I think he's going to do better than Markham. It'll be interesting to see how he does. How did you feel about his debut? Well, not really his debut, but, his first start.
I liked it a lot better than his performance in relief. I'll put it that way. He's got the stuff, and we've all known that for a while now. I think this is a tough situation to put him in, to call him up during a playoff run. But then again, Fires got innings last year, while we were trying to secure a division. So I guess really what it's going to come down to is I don't mind his stuff. I think he can go 6 innings the rest of the way comfortably without any issue. Obviously, he needs to be a little bit more confident in just getting it over the zone. But, I think he's going to do just fine. I would feel a little more comfortable not having him in right now in this current situation, but you have to do what you have to do, and I think he's going to end up just fine. And if the bullpen keeps putting up the really nice numbers behind everybody, I think that lessens my concern.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is it's just... I think Peralta's more of a starter than he is a relief guy, certainly.
He absolutely is, yeah.
And, with the guys we got from the Zach Greinke trade, Ariel Pena and Johnny Helwig, I think that only strengthens our rotation and possibly bullpen in years to come. But if we can get good production out of Willie Peralta in a playoff race, God, imagine how he'll do it when the regular season, comes in and it's only May or June and we're not really into that huge playoff race and he can take it a little bit easier. I mean,
right.
If he can get through this, I mean, that's incredible.
And I do want to preface, Willie Peralta did not have a bad start. Six innings, three earned runs. I have no issue with that. That's quality start. That's what you can't. Sure, you'd like the walks to be lower, and you'd like the runs to be lower. Everyone would like less earned runs, but you can't be mad with a rookie coming out there in a big start and putting up a performance like that. He did well. We, as Brewers fans, are accustomed to seeing, you know, 8-9 strikeouts from a starter a game. But that simply isn't always the case, you know, in terms of getting wins. You don't need to strike out a lot of guys. And if he can, you know, if he can throw a few more ground balls and, you know, really work hitters a little bit more, I think you're going to see a lot better results out of him.
Definitely. All right, last segment we want to get into is pitchers of the week and hitter of the week. So, Colin, who are your hitter and pitcher of the week?
I'm going to start with my pitcher of the week, John Axford. John Axford's 4 for his last 4 in save opportunities, with only 1 hit, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts, which aren't fantastic numbers there, but his batting average against .071.
Yeah, I have to give it to Axford as well. I just, how can you not like what he's done? He hasn't blown a save, knock on wood, in how many attempts. He just goes out there and he just dominates. Hasn't allowed a hit, only walked 2, struck out 3 in his last 4, or actually 3 1/3 innings pitched. And it's just been really good for Axford.
You bring up the dominance factor, and he's not dominating the same way he was when it was his, record length streak, where you were expecting 2 strikeouts a game and a ground ball. He's learning how to use the parks he's playing in and how to use the hitters he's playing against to his advantage in order to get, you know, ground balls or safe fly balls or, being able to strike out a guy when he needs to, not because he wants to. It's been really fun the last couple weeks to watch Axford pitch because he's back to his old form, kind of, but in a more mature way.
Mm-hmm. I think he's definitely realized, oh crap, this wasn't working before, so I gotta figure out what it is now. And, you know, more power to him. I'm really glad to see him back on track.
Yeah.
Offensively, I chose Jeff Bianchi. I wanted to choose the guy that wasn't default by Ryan Braun, so
right.
I had to choose Bianchi. In his last 7 games, he's batting .294, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, 5 hits, 3 runs scored, and it's not that I'm saying he's putting a case over Gene Segura to start at short, but as of lately, I don't know if you want to put Segura at short and take out Bianchi. I mean, I don't know if you really want to do that.
The way Bianchi's hitting, I think the smart bet is to keep him in, and I would throw an argument for him. There are a lot of people here that you could really pick as your standalone. I'm going to say over the last 7 games, though, and I know it's going to seem strange because I've been rather rude to him lately, but it's Ricky Weeks. In my mind, I mean, he's given you everything over the last few weeks now, and it's really been a big part of this team's, turning around. And personally, I still think Ricky Weeks is overpaid, and personally, I still don't like him as a long-term member of this team, but the man's playing well, and that's the player I've wanted him to be for 9 years.
Yeah, it's not exactly the production we've wanted out of him. We wanted a little bit more, but I mean, we'll take what we can get at this point.
Exactly.
So. All right, guys, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for next week. I know today was on a Saturday, but, you know, life happens, so stay tuned for hopefully next Wednesday.
We'll see ya.